All right. If Patty Chang, Bob Gardner, Christina Roberts could at least come into the room, you will follow Dick Davis from Blind Inc. Dick is here to do a presentation on the NFB Rehabilitation Centers, Blind Inc., Louisiana Center, and the Colorado Center. Dick?
Okay, thank you, Denise. First of all, I'd like to ask, are there any people who are graduates from the Louisiana Center or the Colorado Center here?
Yeah.
Who's that? Oh, okay. All right. If you would like to, I'm going to, hopefully get some people to talk about their center experiences. Mark Barlow, can you stand up for just a minute? Is it Maurice?
Aris,
okay. So Mark Barlow can see you here, and after a bit, we're going to see how many people we can get on here to just kind of describe their experiences. Okay. All right. National Federation of the Blind Centers started in 1985. They started with a proposal to the legislature of the state of Louisiana by the National Federation of the Blind of Louisiana, and it was for a pilot project to determine the feasibility of a training center for the blind. Now, one of the little-known facts in the Federation's history is I was invited to be its first director. However, I turned that down because I had three little kids of whom I was sole support, and it was a one-year project. And I felt, and I was working for the Iowa Department for the Blind Commission, it was back then, but I didn't really feel that it was good for us to just sell our house and pack up and move to Louisiana and potentially not go into another year. So ultimately, Joanne Wilson took it over, and she hired Suzanne Mitchell and some other people, and she located it in Ruston, Louisiana. And then it not only flourished in the first year, but she got funding for the second year, and she got funding for all the years after that. And then there was Diane McGeorge and Joyce Scanlon. Those of you who know Diane McGeorge and Joyce Scanlon know that they are two very competitive women, and if Joanne could do it, then they could do it too. And so they started hustling, both of them, and they created the Colorado Center for the Blind and Blindness Learning in New Dimensions, which is an acronym for BLIND, B-L-I-N-D, all capitals, I-N-C, Incorporated. And those two centers came into existence around the same time, 1988. At that time, 1987, I had gone from Iowa to New Mexico to work under Fred Schroeder, and I ran the training center for the blind, the orientation center for the blind in New Mexico. And at that time, that center was, even though it wasn't composed in the same way as the other NFB centers, it was regarded by at least Dr. Jernigan as an NFB training center. So the four of us and Fred Schroeder all trooped off to Baltimore, Maryland, and studied under Dr. Jernigan, who taught us all about running orientation centers for the blind, and we each went back and we ran our own orientation centers in our own way. And then several years later, I went to Minnesota to run Minnesota State Services for the Blind, but it was a political job in a political environment, and the administration changed, and the new boss decided he really didn't want me around, and so I went to work for Blind Incorporated, and to keep me in Minnesota, Joyce Scanlon created an assistant director position for me. I served as assistant director under Joyce Scanlon and Sean Mayo, And then when Sean became director, assistant director for employment programs there, and then the end of 2013, Sean Mayo, who is a former Illinoisan, went to leave. She had some health issues, and it was just too big a job for her, and she ended up moving to Iowa with her partner, who got a job of technology director for the Iowa Department for the Blind, and ultimately she moved through temporary employment into the position of Orientation Center Program Manager at that agency, where she remains today. Dan Wenzel, you know him, you know, many of you. He was on the NFB board. He was president of the NFB of Wisconsin. He went off to and stayed for a year. He ran the Wisconsin Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired after Mark Riccobono. He is, of course, Mark Riccobono's brother-in-law, by marriage, essentially. They both married sisters. And so he went off to Baltimore to work at that Blind Industries and Services of Maryland, but felt that it wasn't a very challenging job, and so came to Minnesota in January of 2014. I was interim executive director for 4 months, and then at the beginning of May in 2014, Dan became the director, and ultimately he promoted me to associate director. Rob Hobson, who is also a former Illinoisan, went to work as a cane travel instructor, and then he became lead cane travel instructor, and then he became lead cane travel instructor and coordinator of youth programs here. So he's kind of moved up too. So we've had a pretty good history with expatriates of Illinois at Blind Incorporated. So that's kind of the history of the NFB centers. The NFB centers were different from rehab agencies. To start out, they were all run by NFB state presidents, and very often those same people were NFB national officers. That changed. Pam from Louisiana is still state president, still center director, still on the board of directors in the NFB. But Julie is not. She's in Colorado, and Dan is not. You know, so Pam's the only person who remains, you know, in the standard, you know, method of really holding down several major jobs at the same time. But the NFB centers have really not changed from the very beginning. They're run by blind people. They embodied the philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind. They were our agencies. They didn't, while they worked with state agencies for the blind, to get students. They're private sector entities. They're each chartered in their own respective states as nonprofit corporations. They are all, you know, closely affiliated with the National Federation of the Blind, and over the years they have educated and prepared many, many blind people and sent those blind people into leadership positions, you know, in the Federation, and have strengthened the Federation, you know, enormously. And the Federation in turn has strengthened the NFB centers. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Both entities represent each other. I look at it very simply. I consider the NFB centers as the training arm of the National Federation of the Blind. Very, very simple. But that's what we do. We create Federationists. And that's very different from state agency centers. State agency centers have lots of different priorities. They don't have as clean or defined a philosophy. Even if they are close to the NFB and get along well with the NFB, they're under a lot of different pressures, you know, from government, from, you know, people who have different philosophies or points of view, and so on and so forth. So I really liked moving from state agency administration to working for an NFB center because I felt like I'd come home. I felt that that I was working in a place where I didn't have to compromise my principles, and you know, we welcomed people who wanted training, you know, in the Federation, as well as training in blindness skills, and you know, we've done both. Now, many of the things I'm going to say about Blind Incorporated are, you know, also apply to the other NFB centers. There are a few differences, and I'll point out a few of them. The Colorado Center and the Louisiana Center are bigger than Blind Incorporated. They probably have a capacity of around 40 students in the adult programs. We generally hold our size down to about 20. We feel that allows us to give people more individual attention. But on the other hand, we are smaller, and that's a factor that people should keep in mind. The Louisiana Center is in one of the warmer places of the world, which is a good place to escape Chicago winters, or for that matter, Minneapolis winters. On the other hand, they do have rather warm summers down there, you know. So that's a thing. Blind Incorporated, of course, has beautiful summers and kind of chilly winters. So you know that's another factor. Colorado's more even climate. Louisiana Center is in a small city in Louisiana. It's affiliated with Louisiana Tech, so people who go to the Louisiana Center will find it easy to take master's degree programs in orientation and mobility, in rehabilitation teaching, and the combined program in both specialties, which is really an excellent way to move into the rehab profession. Other two centers don't have that. Colorado Center is in the mountains, lots of rock climbing there. Louisiana Center takes you to Mardi Gras. If Dan Wenzel has his way, we're going to come to the Chicago Blues Fest. And so we each try to do things. We do dog sledding. We haven't done it for a couple of years, but that's going to be remedied. We're going to find another dog sledding provider, you know, who will let blind people ride the dog sleds and so on and so forth. Blind Incorporated and the Colorado Center for the Blind are both in major cities with really good transit systems, so people get lots and lots of mass transit experience. Louisiana Center accommodates that by going to the, you know, to a city a short distance away, you know, where they have buses and does that. There are individual differences, you know, programmatically, you know, too, but one of the things I just want to make a point of is that you can go to any one of those centers and you are going to get really top-notch blindness training. And so I would encourage you to look at the websites if you're considering NFB training centers. Look at the websites of each one. Call the people, you know, who do intake at each one. Talk to them, you know, get their literature, get their materials, and basically make a decision based on your interests and your preferences. You know, we don't, in the NFB, we don't believe one size fits all, and so, you know, our centers are different. Okay, what are some of the things about Blind Incorporated that are unique features? Well, there's a few. One thing that we have, which is completely unique, is we invented the fastest Braille reading instructional method in the world. It's called the Codemaster Braille Reading System. We teach people the complete Braille code, including the UEB, in anywhere from 1.5 months to 2 months. I don't know anybody who does that. The other NFB centers have sort of studied it. We hope they'll switch over to it. They're certainly welcome to do so, but they haven't made that change over yet. That means our students spend 2 months learning the Braille code, and the rest of their time they learn how to use it in a lot of different ways, and get really, really good at it before they graduate. The other thing is that Codemaster is based on individual preference. So, you know, if you want to read murder mysteries or, you know, really, really gushy romantic novels or the, you know, mathematics books or, you know, the sports scores, you know, or the history of the major leagues and in baseball or football stuff or anything else, we will customize it for your reading pleasure. We just simply go on the internet. We download files, we run them through a Braille embosser, or we download them onto Braille output devices, and so that's the way you learn. The other thing is that we don't have a separate computer class and a separate Braille class. Several years ago, we integrated them. So basically, as our technology friends over here were kind of discussing, you can integrate speech and Braille. And some of the ways that they describe, you know, the advantages of having both are the advantages that our students have. So not only are students reading, learning to read Braille, but they're learning to read Braille in not only hard copy, but electronic media. And we found that learning Braille, if you have touch problems, such as being a diabetic, we found that learning Braille on electronic media is actually quite a bit more efficient because the dots are firmer. So that's one unique thing. Two unique things. I'm sorry, not only the Codemaster, but the integration of the program. We are starting something that's kind of interesting. Jessica may talk about this a little bit, called the Semester for Success, in which we integrate adjustment of blindness training and college training so that people, you know, who wonder if they're going to be successful in college can take a college course or two as Jessica is doing, and take center training, and both things support the other, you know, so she's learning how to function, you know, using blindness skills and NFB attitudes, but she's also racking up some transferable credits in college that she can then use. And she, more importantly, she's not jumping into college, you know, she's easing into it. So that's another thing that we have. We have an English language learning program. Minneapolis has a large Somali population, a large immigrant population, and we bring in large Hispanic population, actually, and we bring in people who don't know English or don't know it well, and we teach them English, we teach them Braille literacy skills, and then we gradually merge them into our other classes. So they develop English literacy, they develop English speaking, they develop Braille literacy, and they also develop, you know, adjustment to blindness skills and employment too. So we do that. So those are some of our features. All centers have summer programs, buddy programs, which I've discussed. Ours deals with 9 to 13-year-olds. It's a really, really good program, you know, relatively close to Chicago. We have a prep program, which is for 14 to 18-year-olds that not only provides training to people in blindness skills. Oh, I should go back to buddy just for a second. Buddy is a kind of a halfway blindness skills training program, halfway camp. The morning is taken into learning blindness skills, but it's very practical because the kids learn how to fix their own breakfasts. They learn how to clean up after themselves. They spill things. They wipe them up. That's good news for busy moms everywhere. And they learn how to wash their clothes and all the things that you can't get them to do at home, we will force them to do. And so they'll actually come home and they'll be actually quite a bit more useful to you when they get out. But it's all practical learning, and they live in dormitories at the University of Minnesota, which they think is terribly cool because they're actually on a college campus, you know, et cetera. And then the afternoon is devoted into all kinds of cool recreational activities, horseback riding, going to a farm, going to museums, going to water slides, alpine slides, you know, the list goes on and on. And then the evenings are basically you know, practicing the skills that they've learned and also mentoring with people from the NFB of Minnesota who bring them over to their homes and invite them to swimming parties and so on and so forth. So kind of, you know, kind of the whole thing. The advantage, of course, of the prep program and the cost for the buddy program is $750 for the whole 3 weeks. It's a three-week program. But we will, we have never turned somebody down because of financial issues. So we can work with people on that. Prep program is designed to, you know, more focused on skills, more focused on transition to college skills, and so on and so forth. But the 14 to 18-year-olds in the program actually get to work for 3 weeks and get a real salary. And they have their own paychecks, and they bring those home, and like Amy Bosco over there, you know, either stick it away in the bank, or if they can get away with it, go ahead and spend it on all kinds of cool stuff, which teenagers need, of course, to flourish in their life. And Amy might want to talk a little bit about her experiences. But very, very cool. They live in apartments at the University of Minnesota where they actually cook and clean and do all those kinds of things. Again, good news for parents. You get these kids back and they can actually do something. And they think that's the coolest thing in the world, because nothing teenagers like more than to live on a college campus. That is just spectacular. And so they have lots of fun together, lots of socialization, lots of peer support. And the people who are counselors in the program are blind. If any of you who would be interested in working in either program, we start taking applications just about any time. We did bring some brochures and other informative information down very close to the NFB of Illinois table there. Feel free to pick those up, you know, if you would like to do that. So those are some of the things that we do. We also have it's pretty much a local program for blind seniors. We train state agency people. So, you know, if in Illinois you need your staff at your state agency trained, we can do that. We can set up something. I think we're pretty innovative. We're reaching out to the special education community under Dan Wenzel, and we're coming up with lots and lots of good things. Okay, I want to talk about how to get in. That's going to be an issue for some of you. I know that you have... everybody has been mentioning financial issues in your state agency here. Okay, one thing that was said this morning was not exactly accurate. Sometimes agencies make the argument that you cannot go out of state, or they won't pay for training out of state if equivalent training is available in state. That is not legal. You can go any place you want. The law says, and I used to be a state agency director for 7 years, the law says that a state can establish an in-state preference. And I shuddered when that ended up in the rehab regulations, because I knew it was going to be abused. You know, a preference is just a preference. Like, we would prefer if you go to Icree Woods. Okay, well, I prefer not to go to Icree Woods. Okay, then we'll work on it. It does allow states to only pay for what the cost of in-state training, which, you know, since Icree Woods is run by the state, they might say, oh, it's free for Icree Woods and it costs money for Blind Incorporated. No. It costs money to buy, to send people to Icree Woods. So they have to do a calculation of what the monthly cost is to send somebody to Icree Woods and then use that, you know, as the basis of negotiation with us on how much they'll pay. We generally haven't had any problems with states, but we've run into a lot of states that say, no, we don't pay for out-of-state training. That, I want to emphasize, is clearly illegal. Under the Rehabilitation Act, you as rehabilitation clients have, by law, the right to make choices. You get to choose your vocational goal. You get to choose the services that you need to support that vocational goal. You get to choose the service providers that provide those services, and you get to choose the environment in which those services are provided. Now, you can also write up your own individual plan for employment without the assistance of the state agency, et cetera. Now, the mechanism that the state agency has is that the counselor, you know, has to sign off on this plan. And if they refuse to sign it, then you have the right to appeal that. And you have enough lawyers here in Illinois who I'm sure can explain to you those rights, so I won't go into them. But basically, you have an appeal right. The best thing to do is just file an appeal with the state. They have 60 days to settle it one way or the other, unless you choose to extend it. There's two main methods that are allowed under the law, one of which is mediation by a third impartial party, and a second is a hearing before an administrative law judge. Now, unless things have changed, another thing that was said this morning was inaccurate, which is that the administrative law judges are not affiliated with vocational rehabilitation in the state. In fact, unless it's changed, Illinois was one of the states was grandfathered in. Most other states, you can't have people who do the administrative judgments affiliated with an agency, but I think in Illinois that still is, and that has caused some problems for blind people, you know, who filed appeals in the state of Illinois. I remember Fred Schroeder was defeated in an appeal in which he testified in Illinois years and years ago. Now, it might be different today, but I'm just saying that look into that. But in any event, at least in theory, that's supposed to be the process. And there's a client assistance project in the state. Each state has to have one, and those are free attorneys who represent you, so you shouldn't have to pay for an attorney. Okay, moving on. We will help you get into Blind Incorporated, and our other NFB training centers will help you get into their training centers. You know, and that we're experts on this. We work with lots and lots of agencies, so we will, you know, we will walk you through the process. One of the things that will help you if you are between the ages of 14 and 21 is that state agencies, while they say, all state agencies, by the way, always say they don't have any money. That's just kind of given. It's like, go away, we don't have any money. Come back, you know, two or three years from now when we have money. And that just seems to be a normal agency thing. But state agencies do have money because they get an appropriation. As long as they come up with a state match, which is approximately $1 for every $5, the federal government matches that, and that's the money that they get to spend. They don't have to spend the state money first. They have to spend the state money in connection with the federal money, but you have to come up with the money first to match it. And I don't know if Illinois has an adequate match or not. So that's another thing perhaps to look into. Do they have enough state money to pull down all the federal money to which they are entitled? And if not, you can certainly work in the legislature in Springfield to get them more money. Okay, so in any event, within the past year, the WIOA Act was passed, which is the new Rehab Act. And unfortunately, the Congress set aside, well, fortunately and unfortunately, but fortunately, it set aside money for 14 to 21-year-olds who had been really neglected by the rehab system previously. That's a good thing. Bad thing is they set a percentage, which means that 15% of an agency's funding has to go to services to that age group, and none of it can be, you know, paid to send them to college. Now, how that's affecting state agencies essentially is that their case service budget, the money that they have to spend for things, went from 100% to 85%. The good thing for people who are 14 to 21 years old is that they're very basically struggling now to spend their transition funds. That's what they're referred to as transition funds. Minnesota is struggling. I suspect Illinois may be struggling. I don't know. Illinois' population is well over twice that of Minnesota, so it may not be, but I suspect it is. So if you are in that age group, you want to have your training at Blind Incorporated or one of the other training NFB training centers funded by transition money because they got more than they can spend. Some people may not even know that, but that is actually true, and I think if you investigate that, you'll find that to be the case. So do that. Other than that, we're pretty smart bunch of agencies, and we deal with a lot of state agencies, and we can usually figure out ways to get you in the door. You know, so just work with us, and we will do that to assist you. Now, I wanted to bring up some of these people. Who are along with me and the additional gentleman here, and maybe to talk about their experiences. But I want to stop at this point and see if you have any questions, because I covered a lot of technical material. Do you have any questions about NFB centers, rehab laws, how to get in, or any of that kind of stuff that I can assist you with.
Byron,
yes. Hang on a second, Byron. I think there's a microphone person who is going to come after you there. So, since you're streaming this, I think probably the people on the other end will want to hear your question.
So you mentioned that individuals can write their own IPEs.
Yes.
Do you guys have experts in place to assist in that process?
I'm an expert. So if you want to come to Blind Incorporated or send somebody to Blind Incorporated, I can help you. And yeah, all the NFB centers have people who can help you with that process. You betcha, as we say in Minnesota. Other questions? Okay. I know you want to hear from actual blind people. You don't want to hear a dusty old sighted person talking to you all the time here. So I am going to have some people up here. Cassandra is not only blind, but she's deafblind, and she's an artist, and she's a poet, and she does all kinds of things. And more to the point, she's, oh, wait a minute, this other gentleman here, Harris. Harris is closer, and Harris went to, is it? What's that?
Colorado Center.
Okay, here's a man who can tell you about Colorado Center. Step right up here, sir.
17 years ago. Hello, my name is Harris Singer. I moved to Chicago about a few years ago from Maryland. Went to Colorado Center for the Blind 17 years ago. Gosh, it was a very different time back then. But it was a great center run then by Dan McGeorge. And at that time, it was in just south of downtown central Denver. They moved to Littleton just after I finished the program. But it was a great program in how it gave me seeds for developing my own identity as a blind person. I started going blind when I was in college in Maryland, and kind of like Dan with BISM, it just wasn't rattling my cage that well. And I had met actually Dan at a Washington seminar in 1997, and he told me about the Colorado Center for the Blind, and through some strokes of luck with my rehabilitation counselor, I was able to get funded without any complaints to go to CCB. And I went out there June 1st of 1998. And it was great being a part of a program run entirely by people who are blind. That was not something that existed with BISM. And having the example of what other people are blind doing professionally really gave me the skills to be able to learn Braille, improve my cooking as someone who can't see. One of the best things about the program was every summer they would go into the mountains and work with a mountaineering organization to do rock climbing. And let me tell you, there's nothing greater than getting up on a rock face, climbing up, not knowing how high you're going, not knowing how far you've gone, but you're really present with where you're at right then and right there. And there's different, you know, grades of climbs that they set up. Some are really hard, some are really easy. And I was a kind of personality that wanted to take the biggest challenge. And I stayed in touch for many years with Eric Weinmeier. I don't know if you all know that name. He was he lives in Colorado, and he was part of the group that helped do our rock climbing. And he was a great guy, great guide. And that really helped me, as well as everyone else in the program, develop our skills, develop our confidence. And there's, you know, the Colorado Center for the Blind at that time had people in their 50s and 60s, all different ages, all different body types, and that really made the rock climbing that much more special as a group event. It wasn't just for the young, it was for the young and old alike, and everyone took it on. And stayed in touch for many years with people there that went traveling around the world and working out here in Chicago. Thanks.
Thank you, Aris. I apologize for not having pronounced your name correctly here. We have some people from Blind Incorporated, Cassandra here. So why don't you come up and talk a little bit about your experience, please?
Hello, Illinois. It's me, Cassandra Xavier. I am a deafblind student at Blind Incorporated in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And my experience at blinding has been quite interesting as a deafblind individual. I've learned to do lots and lots more things than I had already known before coming to Minnesota. I hailed from Boston, Massachusetts to Minneapolis in February, bringing behind me a blizzard as well. So I was responsible for that blizzard at the time. I'm telling you now because it's almost a year ago that it happened. So I've learned a lot of things. I've honed my Braille skills and my communication skills and everything from home management to basically traveling confidently as a deafblind individual. My cane skills had drastically improved, and I've gotten to tap into another part of the art world using a tactile drawing format. It was as aluminum foil paper, and I had come across the idea of making a remake of Pablo Picasso's Blind Man's Meal and Pablo Picasso's Guernica with a tactile drawing, introducing to those who have never seen what Pablo Picasso's work looks like in a tactile form. And those two pieces of artwork reside at Blind Incorporated right now as we speak. So hopefully you guys get to make a visit over to Blind Inc. And one of those tactile drawings will still be there for you guys to tactily explore and enjoy. Thank you.
Next, Cody.
Hello, everybody. I'm Cody. One of the things about me is I am partial, and at all the NFB training centers, you do have a rail sweepshades if you have some sight, which it's working out good for me because before I came to Blind Inc., I relied on my sight too much, and I would have eye strains, headaches, and all kinds of stuff. But since coming to Blind Inc., I can use a computer without using Zoom tests, which is faster if you try to just, if you use just voice over technology, it's way faster than trying to squint at a computer, Zoom tests or inverted colors and all that stuff on it. I have learned to use an ATM by using headphones, so I don't have to like look at it too closely or stuff like that. I have really loved cane travel. Actually, from being at Blind Inc., I wish to be a cane travel instructor someday. At Blind Inc., you learn the address system. You can go grocery shopping by yourselves. You can go to, say, a bar by yourselves or other establishments you want to. And one of the great things about being at Blind Inc., which I probably said that five times already, sorry, is that I was really introduced to the NFB, and now I'm the president of the student division in Minnesota. I have met great people like Patty Chang and Candace Chapman, and I met Mark Riccobono at National Convention, and I highly recommend anyone to come to Blind Inc. We have great staff. I'll give a call out to Dit Davids and Mark Barrow. Mark Barrow is not Dit's assistant. He's an industrial arts instructor. That was mentioned earlier. But Mark Barrow has a more luxurious job than being Dit's assistant, which I would feel very bad for the person who has that job. So thank you.
All right, thank you, Cody, for that, I think. Here, anyway, I think Cody could compete with Jim Gashel. What do you think? Yeah, he's up there, okay. You know Amy Bosco? She was in our prep program last summer, and so I'll let her talk about her experience. Go ahead, Amy.
There's So I went to the summer program. I heard about it through some friends, and I was like, I didn't really know much about it. I just thought it sounded really interesting, and it was just something to do for the summer. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. So I ended up going, and it honestly, like, this is really cheesy, but it changed my life a lot. It was like a major turning point for me because I didn't know how to do a lot of things. Like, I'm a junior right now, and at that point, like, I didn't really know how to cook. I wasn't very, like, confident with travel skills. Like, I was okay, like, in school, but I didn't know, like, crossing streets and stuff. So I got funding from the Lions Club, and I was able to attend this program. And it's very good because, like, when you're at school, you're going to get training from your TBI. But when you're at Blind Inc., it's just full on. Like, there's no break. You're constantly forced to do everything for yourself. So if you, even if you go in and say, like, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to be lazy, like, you have to do everything. You go and you take classes during the day with other students, and then you go home and you have, like, apartments, and you all cook a meal together, and, like, you learn how to cook and you learn how to travel. And their philosophy is, hey, like, you're lost, figure it out. I'm going to help you, but you'll figure it out. So it's just given me a lot of confidence. Before Blind Inc., I was like, it's okay to take an arm. It's okay to just ask people for help. But, like, ever since I've gone there, I've just had that philosophy, like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to get lost. This is fun. And then another thing, when Dick was saying about how I got to work, we got the opportunity to work at different locations for the last 3 weeks of our training. And that was also a really good opportunity because it gave you a salary. And you got to experience what it was like to have, like, that full work day. I had, like, a job from 10 to 3. And, like, I met some people, and I got to explain to them, like, what my training was like. And I enlightened a lot of people, too. So I just think any student who really wants to learn, is really invested in getting independent, I suggest that you go to Blind Inc. because it's really going to change your life. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Okay, Jessica is in our hybrid college program right now. So, Jessica, you want to talk about that?
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're enjoying convention. Well, my experience with Blind Inc. actually started way back when I was 13. I've done both of the summer programs. I did the buddy program and the prep program, which really gave me a good, like, foundation of independence, and it's what made me decide to come back for the adult program. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to start college, like, the fall after I graduated high school. But I also wanted to get some training before I started college. So I did the first, like, 2.5 or 3 months of the regular adult program. I did one of my drop-offs in travel and stuff, and so I got that good foundation before college. But then I did one semester of college and ended up having to take a semester off. So in that time, I decided that I would come back and finish my training, gain the rest of those skills that I knew I needed. So I've been doing that since May, but then I was almost done with training and, you know, I was going to go back to school. So they decided that I could do a part-time training, part-time college program. So I'm currently taking 4 credits at Minneapolis Community and Technical College, majoring in software development, and taking classes at the center to help me with skills that I might need for college, like communication skills and whatever it is I need. And it's been really helpful to have sort of that transition into college instead of just jumping right back into things again. And so Blind Inc., you know, over all the years has really taught me a lot, and it's really changed my life. So, yeah.
Okay, last but not least, Mark Barlow, who is our industrial arts instructor. And if you want to know how blind people can run power tools, he can certainly tell you that. And he is a dramatic fellow, I can assure you here. So be warned.
Oh, that's good. goodness, thank you, Dick. Well, that's the pressure. The pressure's on now. It's like when someone says, "Oh, I've got to tell you the funniest joke ever." And then that's the worst way to start out, to tell the funniest joke ever, by saying that it's going to be the funniest joke ever. But I'll try to keep it under control a little bit. But I am, I love the attention. That's why I got into education. And because I don't really like people, which is another great draw for educators. I think that to turn those people into something that you can like, right? I don't know. But I am the industrial arts instructor at Blind Incorporated. And I'm wrapping this up. What have we not covered? One thing is that we own the Pills, and the Pillsbury family had built many beautiful structures throughout South Minneapolis and Northeast Minneapolis. And at one time, Minneapolis was the land of castles. We had so many incredible structures, and we are on the just on the south side of downtown in South Minneapolis, and we have an incredible public transportation system. We are ranked consistently 1 and 2 for the most bicycle-friendly city in the nation. And 1, 2, or 3, given the year and who's doing the rankings. And bicycle-friendly cities are also pedestrian-friendly cities. As wonderful as the weather can be in Atlanta, Atlanta is incredibly hostile for bikers and for pedestrians, at least my experience is. We really pride ourselves in being able to travel through with a relative ease in Minneapolis, and our travel instructors really take advantage of that. Industrial arts, what is that? Well, boy, I think I knew about 2.5 years ago, I think I could answer that better than I can now, because it is so many things as the years have gone by. It's been an incredible journey for me professionally, and it is a lot of things. At its core, it is kind of a wood shop on steroids. I take my students through hand tool projects and projects that serve as introductions to the world of power tools, and the students delve deeply into an independent project where they're responsible for the design and construction of their independent project, whatever that may be, and it can be quite varied, and it is quite varied. One important aspect is that those first couple days, that first week when I have a new student, it's kind of like a syllabus day in high school, right? Going over everything that can be expected and running through rules and regulations. But a really important thing is that I get to run through with that new student their prior experiences, and a lot comes to light. As far as what they have done with their hands, what they've done with their mind through that time. And through that conversation, it really allows not just I, but all of us at Blind Incorporated to individually tailor our attention and our curriculum to that student. I may have 18 students, but throughout the weeks or the months, the instruction that's given is truly individualized, and that is incredibly unique. I think I feel very fortunate to have that the ability to do that and to build the kinds of relationships that I do with my students. Thank you, and so it has been an honor and a pleasure to work at Blind Incorporated, and to have my life be affected just as much as the lives of my students. So thank you very much, and I am here if you have any questions, if you want to have a conversation about poetry, perhaps. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I know that the president wants to get moving, so if you have questions, just hunt us up and ask us. We'll be around.
Thank you very much, Dick, Mark, Cassandra, Jessica, and Cody. We are enjoying our visit from those of you who are from Minnesota. I'm going to ask Marco for a door prize at this point.